Today, on Commitment to Truth.
When we have run from God and we just don't know where to turn, just stop and cry out to Him. And His Word promises that He hears us.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Mike Jones, teaching pastor at Commitment Church, with today's message.
So let's see what we can learn from Jonah's prayer of lament, starting in Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. And we're going to read through the chapter. We'll just start at verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. And all your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. And so what's the first thing we can learn about a prayer of lament, or when we find ourselves in these dire situations? And the first thing we can realize is that we need to cry out to God. Verse 2, he says, I called out of my distress and I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Both words meaning the same thing, called out and cried, is to cry out or shout for freedom from some trouble. And it's also the same called that you see in verse 14 when the sailors cried out, when they called on the Lord and said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man. So likewise, like that's the picture here, right? Just like these sailors who knew they were, felt like they were about to die, in the storm that Jonah had caused, right? Jonah is now calling from that same sense of urgency from the belly of the whale, Lord, I need you to hear me. I cry out to you. I call out to you. And what happens when we cry out to God? A couple things, all of which are sort of the same. Exodus 3:7 tells us, and I'm going to bounce around a little bit. Exodus 3:7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering. Verse 8, so I have come down to deliver them. And so when we cry out to the Lord, when we call on his name, he comes down to us. He meets us where we are. In Psalms, it says the Lord draws near to the cry of his people. And this isn't a passing phrase. It's not a casual glance at God. So why do we need to call out on him? Why do we need to cry out for him? Right? I think even as I was preparing this message and I was going through like some of the things that were standing out, right? It's about crying on the Lord. Later on, we're going to talk about sharing our feelings and letting God know how we feel. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like weakness. As a man, I don't want to cry. I don't want to call out in desperation. I don't want to admit that I need help. I don't want to be like that around people. I want to seem like I have it all together. But that's not what God calls us to. And it's a heart of humility. Like that takes humility and humbleness to even admit that we need help. And if we can't do that before the Creator, before the Almighty God, and have that type of humility before him, how can we think he's really going to hear us? How desperate are we really for his help if we can't get that kind of posture before him? And so he had to come before him just crying, broken, admitting where we are, seeking his face. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the presence of God. Then he will exalt you. Boy, we got to give up some of that control. We got to stop thinking we have it figured out. We need to stop coming up with all our plan A's and B's and C's. And if this happens, then I'll do that. And if this person does this, then I'll do that. And I've already made one bad decision, so I've got this branch of ideas of how I'm going to get out of it. Just stop. Stop where you are. You know, when I think about, like, even talk about being forced to stop, you know, I've only ever thought of Jonah before from, like, the children's books, right, where everybody's smiling, and you see Jonah inside the whale. And if anybody's ever seen, like, the movie Pinocchio, where, like, they get swallowed by the big whale, and they're literally, like, sitting in there by a fire, warming their hands, like, you know, like, it's completely ridiculous cartoon. But, like, just because that's how I learned it, that's how I picture it. But, like, when I really think about Jonah being stuck in the stomach of the whale, he's probably... he's in the belly of a whale, right? He can't move. It says he has seaweed wrapped around his head. He's forced to just stop. Stop fighting. And he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. But this prayer, I mean, I just read it to you in what, like a minute? And I wonder, like, how long was he struggling, fighting, trying to think of other ways that... Everybody, when we find ourselves in the middle of it, when we have run from God and we just don't know where to turn, just stop and cry out to him. And his word promises that he hears us. And so when we cry out to him, what does that sound like? And just to go, I'm just going to highlight a couple points here in chapter 2, where he says, I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You had cast me into the deep. I have been expelled from your sight. I descended to the roots of the mountains, essentially down where the mountains start in the bottom of the ocean. The earth with its bars was around me forever. It's essentially the picture of he was imprisoned by the earth. He was, you know, in captivity. He was stuck. I was fainting away in verse 7, right? When we're before the Lord in prayer and we're crying out to him, we can be honest with him. We can tell him exactly how we feel. We don't have to sugarcoat it. We don't have to pretend. He already knows our heart. If you're a little frustrated with your circumstance, tell him. If this makes no sense at all, be like, God, help. What are you doing? I have no idea what's going on. I don't know what to do. You know, and I caution you, I'm not saying shake your fist at God. That's a little different, right? But be honest with them. You know, there was, you know, God let Jacob wrestle with him. He didn't, like, is God. He didn't have to, but he allows us to have that exchange with him. He allows us to pour out our hearts to him. And sometimes, how many of us just bottle everything inside and don't say how we really feel and don't say what's really going on the inside and, you know, give the I'm blessed. How many times does somebody ask you, how you doing? I'm good. Which is fine. I mean, you're not supposed to just go, like, telling everybody all your problems out in the world. But with God, you're supposed to. Tell him everything that you're feeling. Distressed. All these things that Jonah was going through, right? Distressed is like afflicted, troubled, oppressed. Cast out is thrown away. Expelled is driven out. Fainting away in verse 7 is to be feeble, inadequate, and overwhelmed. He's just confessing all this stuff. God, I'm just worn out. But we can't get stuck there. And I think that's where sometimes our prayer can end. Or that's where our emotions can end. Is we're just get stuck in the, you know, victim of circumstance situation. God, I don't know what you're doing. I'm here. I've made a mess. and now I'm hopeless, and I stop there. And Jonah here, in verse 4, he says, I have been expelled from your sight, right? He feels like God has cast him out. Where are we at? I've been expelled. Where's the other? That's what I get for turning my page too soon. And you cast me into the deep. I apologize. Right? So, but all this, right, is he feels like God is the one that has cast him away and thrown him away. And when he's in the belly of the whale, and when we're in these situations, we can feel like God has turned his back on us. But that's not the case, and we can't get stuck there. We have to move on to the next part of the prayer. We can't let, I see it happen so much when I'm working with the teens and talking with them, and it happens with adults too, where you see people who fall victim to depression and anxiety and fear, and it's a mindset, it's a mentality, right? When you tell yourself these lies and these emotions and feelings come into your brain, and then they become your reality. And you can't get out of it. It's this cycle that happens over and over. And the only way we can break that is that we need to put our trust in God. And when we read Jonah, we have to know his word. In Jonah, it reads like a psalm because it is. Some of these verses are direct correlations to other verses in Psalm. Jonah must have been very familiar with the words of David. You know, they were songs that were passed down. I mean, it's a good plug for, like, what kind of music you listen to. Because all of Psalms is just all set to music. We read it as this, like, as a book, but it was actually song. David was a songwriter. And so Jonah didn't have Psalms, but they had the music. And that music had been poured into him, and so it came out in his prayer. He's singing these songs, he's praying these words back to God. You think Christian music might be a little important? I find myself, even as I'm going through this preparation, a lot of times a song will come to mind before the verse comes to mind. But at least the song still has biblical truth in it. It's not telling me to handle my situation the way the world tells me to handle my situation. When we're going, and it's so important for your kids. It's so important when they're young. There's so many times we'll be going through lessons with the youth, and I thought I saw Miss Danielle. Miss Danielle's here. Every time we'll be like going through like a verse or talking about like a subject matter during the lesson, we'll each just break out into these old corny songs that we learned at like Christian camps or in Sunday school and stuff like that. I haven't heard those songs in 20 years. You know, 30, how old am I? You beat me to it. It's been so long, right? But it sticks. We need the word in us every kind of way. When we talk about like knowing God's word, it's hard to really memorize. How many people, don't raise your hands, but like sit and really try and memorize everything that's in here? It's almost impossible. But when you have all these other avenues of having the word in you, it comes out right when you need it. We can put our trust in God, whether it's through song, through verse, and we have to get to the point where those feelings get dispelled because we know what God's truth is. Let's look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121, I'm sure Jonah knew this. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Let's look also at Psalm 139. 7 through 12. And this is exactly how, you'll see some of the words here, exactly how, like the same words that Jonah was saying. But this was the truth to kind of, when he said, oh, I feel like I'm in the pit of Sheol, or I'm in the underworld. It just represented complete separation from God. Here's what God says. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? You think Jonah knew this stuff? It had to be coming back to him. Like, duh, he should have known. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. We have to know these truths, guys, that no matter where we go, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter how deep the hole is that we've dug for ourselves, that God is still right there with you. You might feel like he abandoned you. You might feel like he's not there. You might feel like he can't forgive you or love you because you've made so many mistakes. You might feel that way. But that's not what God says. His word is true. His promises are true. And he gives them to us because he knows in our weakness we'll fall prey to our own negative thoughts. And he gives us this to counteract it. And it's so important to me that people understand this, right? In a society where there's just so much overwhelming information, especially God, from being with the kids, you just see how everything just drives them down. And we need to give them something. And adults too, you need something to hold on to. And it's God's promises. So you can trust him that when you're in the belly of the whale, God will get you out of there. And what does Jonah say he's going to do even when he gets out? In verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. He's going to thank God for that whale-like experience. Can you imagine? Have you done that? Where you are right now, if you find yourself in a situation where you just feel far from God, right? You're trying to correct some mistakes. Thank God for even being there. He's using that to draw you nearer to him, not to push you away. If God was the God that just cast you away and rejected you for your mistakes, he would have let Jonah drown in the sea. But he put him in that whale, not to condemn him, but to draw him near, to bring him close, to say, Jonah, I love you. I'm trying everything I can to get your attention so that I can bring you into right relationship with me. Because God is a loving father. That's how he loves us. He doesn't let us do what we want. That's not love. And he doesn't condemn us or shame us every time we do something wrong. He disciplines us because he loves us. Hebrews 12, 6 and 7. One of my favorite verses. I love verses that refer to God as a father. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons and daughters. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you find yourself being disciplined by God, that means he loves you, right? How many of you, if you've played sports or been in any type scenario, training type scenario, right, where the person says, like, if I didn't think you had it in you, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. That's how God is for us. If he didn't think we could do it, if he didn't think he had equipped us with everything we need to have victory, he wouldn't even bother with the discipline. When we need to be afraid is when we don't feel like God's discipline is there, when we mess up. Because then we're in a whole other camp that we're not going to get to. So trust the Lord. Don't be deceived by your thoughts. In a world that tells you your feelings are your reality, no. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God's love is pure, God's love is true, and God is there for you. And so what happens when Jonah gets to this point, he has lamented to the Lord and lifted up his prayer. In verse 10, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. God, through the whale, got Jonah right where he wanted him. And when we cry out to the Lord, when we're open and honest with him, because he knows everything anyway, so don't try and hide it with him. Just keep it real. Just talk to him. And we put our trust in him. That's when the healing can happen. That's when the restoration can happen. But God is so merciful, even with Jonah. And something that I want to point out as I was going through this, I thought that something was missing from this prayer a little bit. So have you ever been in the situation where God has delivered you miraculously in some way, shape, or form, but then it's not too long that you're back in the same position where you started? And we can be there over and over again. Why? I mean, we call out to God. He hears us. He's gracious enough to listen to us, to hear our prayer. He gets us to the point where we're like, all right, God, I give you control. It says even in Jonah that that which I have vowed, I will pay. God, if you get me out of this situation, I'm going to quit doing this, that, and the other thing, and I'm going to do this, that. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray, right? We make all these promises. And God, even though he knows, that's how great he is, even though he knows what we're going to do, and we're going to completely take advantage of his kindness and his favor, he's like, all right, here you go. And we wind up back there. Why? Because if we don't repent, we're going to repeat. And if God is so great, he'll let you off the hook. Because he does have a work for you to do. But you're going to be right back in that same situation if you don't repent. And as I was looking at this passage, I'd be honest with you. I felt like I was being judgmental. I'm like, God, am I being too hard on Jonah? Is it me? You know, but then I was just thinking about it. And I'm like, no, I just don't see it there. But I did discover this whole prayer of lamenting thing, right? And was looking at some other prayers of lament. And so it's one of the reasons David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he never made the same mistake twice. And what was his heart, right? There's actually, okay, forget that. I don't want to go down any rabbit trails. But so David did, though, in this prayer, right? So he had sinned against God, right? He talked about having one mistake become worse and worse, right? First, he sent his army out to war, and he's chilling at home in his castle. Mistake number one. Then he's up on his roof, and he sees Bathsheba bathing. Mistake number two, because he should have went back inside, right? And we know where the mistake after mistake after mistake, until finally, I forget the prophet's name, comes to him and says, that child, who was it? Nathan, thank you. I like this interactive thing, right? Feel like I'm with the youth group again. What's going on here? So Nathan comes in and says, because you're having a child, because of what you've done with Bathsheba, you're going to lose this child. And what is David's response when he comes to this realization? Let's look at Psalm 51. This is his prayer in that situation. Psalm 51. We'll just read a few verses, but the whole chapter really expresses David's heart and where I think we can learn in this instance from what Jonah didn't do to what David did do here. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Hear the difference? that personal responsibility, that accountability for, man, I messed up. And I'm the reason I'm here. Jonah, in a way, God, you cast me out. You threw me in the depths of the sea. David, it's my fault. This is why I'm here. And we look, and I you know, this is where I told Larry, I'm not stepping on your toes too much, but if you look at, because he's doing chapter 4, but if you look at chapter 4, verse 1, right, we find after Jonah testifies, you know, to the Ninevites, and they all repent and turn around and are saved, but it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. Right back where he started. And isn't that the case for us? We wind up right back where we started. But what can we learn? Confess our sins. Go to God. Tell him how you feel. Put your trust in him. But then have an honest assessment of where you're at while you're there and ask God to forgive you so that you don't find yourself in that situation again. And then at the end of verse 9, salvation is from the Lord. That's a continual salvation. There's the first time you get saved from your sin and you get adopted into God's kingdom. But then after that, we need constant saving from our own sin. We don't become perfect. And our sin certainly makes us keep making mistakes. But rather than make more mistakes, rather than dive deeper into sin, let that be the mirror. Let God's word be a mirror for you to say, well, that was a mistake. God, forgive me. Heal me. Don't send me back in the belly of the whale. I don't need it. I promise. I've learned my lesson. And I'll turn to you. Turn my eyes to you. Turn my eyes to the hills, to where my salvation comes from, and invite you into this. Change me, God, and rescue me from my circumstance. And he certainly will.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they finished your sentence before you had a chance to even open your mouth? Maybe they speak before you even speak or not even give you a chance to speak. Well, the scriptures say this to us. He who gives an answer before he hears is like a folly and shame to him. So the next time you have the temptation, like I do, to finish someone's sentence before they have a chance to even complete it themselves, let us remember that it will ultimately be a folly and a shame to us. Some way, somehow, we probably will say something to hurt someone's feeling, or we will misspeak and ultimately cause shame, not only to ourselves, but also to the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we all have a responsibility to slow down and hear. Can we make sure that we're really listening to each other, hearing exactly what each other is saying before we respond?
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, a teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org.
And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.